Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading from Luke chapter 12. It's some difficult words from Jesus here. He's talking about fire, he's talking about distress, he's talking about death and destruction. All of these things you would consider negative things, right, from a human perspective, and yet, just like all of Jesus' teachings, if they are heard in light of the cross, in light of what Jesus accomplished for us there, then yes, there even is some good news within these words. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we had a couple of difficult readings today. That gospel lesson really hits hard. It doesn't hold back. It packs a punch, kind of gets you right in the gut, knocks the wind right out of you. Nothing we hear Jesus say in that short passage would be considered warm or fuzzy, right? None of it makes you think of those really beautiful illustrations in a children's storybook Bible where you have Jesus and all the little children surrounding him and he's got that twinkle in his eye. None of that is here. You know, like that passage that I read earlier during Paxton's baptism, that's the kind of passage we like to think about when we think of Jesus, but that's not what we get here in Luke chapter 12. Not today. After we all had this privilege of witnessing a baptism of life and salvation just a few moments ago, then we hear Jesus talking about a baptism that is really filled with death and destruction. After hearing that Paxton's name means town of peace, we hear Jesus say in this gospel reading, he didn't come here to provide peace. He came to bring division between father and son, mother and daughter. Then if that's not bad enough, he gets the in-laws involved. Hey, don't roll your eyes. That's not nice. This gospel reading is short, but it's not sweet. And it seems kind of strange for me to stand there and read these words to you and then follow it up with, this is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. I think what makes this even harder for us to understand is that not only does Jesus talk about all these terrible things, but he actually speaks as though he's looking forward to them happening. Like he can't wait for this stuff to get here, right? Verse 49, he says, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. Verse 50, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. You get a sense of what Jesus was feeling if you have ever been on a really long car trip before, right? So 2 weeks ago, this was Katie and I as we drove our family to Myrtle Beach and back, right? About 13-hour drive. For the first few hours, it's okay, right? It's all right for a little while, but then eventually, people start getting restless. People start getting uncomfortable. Eventually, somebody in the back seat, Zoe, starts saying, are we almost there? Are we there yet? The famous question, right? Kids say that, adults say it too, because we're uncomfortable, because we're cramped up in the car, because we know that there's something great coming when we finally reach our destination, right? So if you're going to the beach or wherever the family's heading, you know something wonderful is coming. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. We want to get there as quickly as possible. We think it's uncomfortable to ride in the car for a long time. Think about how uncomfortable it would have been for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to take his journey, to set his face toward Jerusalem, toward his own crucifixion. Are we there yet? All along the way, he would have been dealing with the brokenness of this world, the way that we all deal with it each and every day of our lives. All along the way, he was receiving this rejection, resistance to his teachings, accusation that he wasn't doing enough to uphold the law of Moses. And then to make it worse, when it was all said and done, he knew what the destination was going to lead him to, right? He knew that it wasn't going to be some relaxing vacation on the beach. He knew that it was going to be a cross. He knew that it was going to be his death for the sins of the world. Talk about distressing. And yet, it seems like Jesus just can't wait. What do you think was going through Jesus' mind in this passage? You think he just wanted to rip the Band-Aid off, get it over with, right? Not let this whole thing drag out too long? Do you think that Jesus actually had something he was specifically looking forward to on Good Friday? Really, the answer comes in the two images that Jesus uses in this passage. He talks about baptism, as I mentioned. He also talks about fire. So let's start with baptism. Jesus essentially, right here, calls his death on the cross a baptism, which is such a strange way to think about baptism. The way we normally think about baptism, we think about cute little babies, we think about excited parents, we think about little Paxton, right? And all that life will offer him for years and years in the future. Pretty much the last thing that we think about when we talk about baptism would be death and destruction. And yet, Scripture actually teaches us that death is a very important part of baptism. Death is actually part of what makes us Christian, because on the day that we're baptized, there's a part of us that dies. The old Adam, the sinful nature that we're born with, that would lead us to everlasting punishment, that part of us Jesus takes and drowns in baptism. I talked about this in the sermon a couple weeks ago with my holy socks, right? You take the socks off, the old socks, and you put on the new socks. You take off the old self. God takes your old self away from you, and he gives you a new self. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" Which I know doesn't sound so great, but then you go on to the next verse. "Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And when you put it that way, it doesn't sound too bad. Jesus calls his death on the cross a baptism because on the cross, we are being washed clean with his blood. He knew that his death would create newness of life for us and for all who believe and trust in him. That's what Jesus was looking forward to on Good Friday. That's why he couldn't wait to get there. And then, of course, you have the fire. And that doesn't sound so great either. Because the way that Jesus talks here, it sounds like he's looking forward to watching the world burn and that he's going to be the one to light the match. But if you think about it, I mean, we look all around us and we see that the world is already burning. Things just seem like they're getting worse and worse all the time. Kind of reminds me of a song that I'm sure most of you know by Billy Joel, "We Didn't Start the Fire," right? You've heard this song before. Billy Joel goes through like 40 years worth of newspaper headlines, starting in 1949 when he was born until 1989 when the song came out. And most of these highlights from the headlines over the years are things that are terrible, things that are destructive, things like the Korean War and the Suez Crisis and the assassination of JFK, and he goes on and on and on throughout this whole song. It's all stuff that makes up this fire that was always burning since the world's been turning, and we didn't light it, but we're trying to fight it, right? And I think that Billy Joel is more of a theologian than he realizes, because it's pretty much true that sin has made this world burn. It's always been burning since the world's been turning, just shortly afterward, as Adam and Eve fell into sin. But the kind of fire that Jesus is talking about here in Luke chapter 12, it's a different kind of fire. It's a purifying fire. It's a fire that lights up the darkness of this world. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross lights up a fire that lights up the whole world. It's a great thing. In fact, the fire that Jesus kindled with his sacrifice 2,000 years ago is a fire that burns so hot that it can't be ignored. For those who receive this gift of faith, this fire is a great thing because it works to burn away this sinful nature over and over again throughout our whole lives. It makes us pure, like silver, refined. But for those who encounter the flame and reject it, this fire consumes them, and they have no hope. And yes, sometimes this even happens with people who are close to us. Jesus was right when he said that he came into this world to bring division. It's not because he loves breaking up friendships or families or anything like that. It's just because he knew that his message, his life, his salvation was going to be rejected by a whole bunch of people. And it can be a really distressing thought for us. We think about all the people in our lives that we're close to who have been those who have rejected Christ, or maybe they're somewhat on the fence. How frustrating it can be when you know that you've shared the gospel with someone, you've invited them to church, maybe in some cases you've even raised them in your own home, your own children in a Christian home, and for some reason it seems like a relationship with God is just not a high priority on their list. Sometimes those kinds of things can make us, as we're traveling on this road trip of life, we might just want to shout out, "Are we there yet?" On the one hand, because we want to know if Jesus is maybe going to give us a little bit more time so that we can work to influence our unbelieving loved ones. And on the other hand, saying, "Are we there yet?" Because as we travel in this broken road trip, we just can't wait for it to finally be over so we can finally have peace and eternity in heaven. The good news for us is that even though we feel that division at times in our lives, the most important thing is that the cross of Jesus Christ has removed the division between God and us. Even if we're separated from our friends, from our coworkers, from our own flesh and blood, we will never be separated from our God. That's what he promised to us when we were just like little Paxton a few moments ago, that he would never leave us, he will never forsake us, and the fire that Jesus lit in us on the day that we were baptized is a fire that goes out into the whole world, every nation, every city, every community, even right here in good old Hoyleton. We will continue to preach Christ crucified in our homes, in our church, in our school, wherever God would lead us, in the hopes that those who have wandered away from the faith would come back home. Home into Jesus' arms. Home where there is no more division. Not because there's anything good in us that makes it so that we earned it, but simply out of God's grace and mercy for all of his children. When you are surrounded with a ton of bad news, and it seems like even the gospel reading isn't very gospel-y, remember that Jesus came to divide you and separate you from the things that would kill your soul. And he's replaced those things with his righteousness, with a place of refuge for you. Are we there yet? Yes, we are. By God's grace. And that is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.